Out of the fog, out of the night, and into his American adventures comes Bulldog Drummond. To tell us about our newest adventure, here is Bulldog Drummond.
I call this story The Case of the Double Death. So far as we knew at the time, it began one evening when Denny and I were dining in a restaurant. Well, Denny, have you finished?
All but this cup of coffee, sir. You know, I must say it doesn't taste very good, but I'll finish it from force of habit.
Well, suit yourself, Denny. Waiter.
Right with you, sir. Yes, sir. Will there be anything more?
The check, please. And quickly, if you don't mind, I'm catching a train.
Right away.
I must say, Captain Drummond, you didn't eat heartily this evening. Not that I blame you, considering that you're going to witness an electrocution.
Well, Denny, there'll have to be the required number of witnesses. I tried to refuse, but the warden insisted.
Well, after all, you helped the state prove that the man was guilty of murder.
Your check, sir.
Thank you. There you are.
Thank you very much.
Come along now, Denny. We haven't too much time.
We, sir? But I wasn't invited, thank goodness.
Well, ride out on the train with me. Wait for me in the warden's office.
Yes, if you insist, sir. Oh, I say, now where in the world are my bowler and my umbrella? I left them here on this hook.
Oh, Denny. Waiter.
Yes, sir.
We're missing a derby and an umbrella.
Yes, a silk umbrella. It can't be replaced, you know.
That's too bad. Maybe somebody took them by mistake. They did, they'll bring them back. Can you stop in tomorrow?
Yes, of course I can, but how can I go out of here without a hat?
Denny, that train won't wait for us, you know. Let's be on our way.
Well, if you don't mind, sir, I'll go home and get another hat. I'll catch the next train and meet you in the warden's office.
All right, Denny. But wearing a hat is just a habit, like drinking coffee. One of these days, you may pay a horrible price for all your habits.
Please, sir, I'm sorry I'm so late.
Denny, I've been waiting 3 hours here in the warden's office. You might at least have telephoned me. Where were you?
Well, I really don't know, sir. That is, I've been asleep.
What?
I fell asleep on the subway going home and slept to the end of the line.
Well, where's your hat?
Well, I never reached home. When I woke up and saw what time it was, I caught the last train out here. I just made it.
You must have slept for some time. And where did you get that scratch on your knuckles?
Well, I can't say, sir.
Well, that's probably the police. I called them trying to find you. Yes? This is Captain Drummond. Yes, thanks, Taylor. Denny's here now. What's that? Well, yes, certainly. The last train's gone, but I have a car waiting outside. Very well, we'll be there as soon as we can.
Was it the police, sir?
Yes, Detective Taylor. He wants to see us at once at our house.
At this hour of the morning?
Something has happened, Denny. Taylor wouldn't tell me what it was, but he said it's important. A matter of life and death.
Well, Drummond, it's about time you two got here. Come on in.
Thank you, Taylor, for the invitation to enter our own house. Come in, Denny.
Yes, sir.
Now then, what's the trouble? On the phone, you sounded as though the place were full of murderers.
Well, maybe it is. Take it easy now, both of you. Frisk him, Tony.
Well, I must say, I resent this. You know, we
all
come
right,
into
Denny,
our...
All right, Denny, never mind.
Yes, sir.
You won't find anything, Tony. Neither Denny nor I are armed tonight. Taylor, do you mind telling us the reason for this reception?
It's a pleasure, Drummond. Tony, show Denny that derby. Recognize it, Denny?
Why, that's my bowler. And you've got my umbrella, too. My word, I didn't even report losing them, and here you police chaps have brought them back.
Yes, We found the umbrella in the back of the hall coat closet out there. Never mind where we found the hat. How about this knife? Did you ever see it before?
Why, not to my knowledge, but really I'm a most obliging sort. If you'd tell me what you want
Cut
to know...
It. Okay, Tony. Denny says he's obliging, so I guess he'll oblige us with his fingerprints.
Why, certainly. Which hand?
The right. Just roll your fingers on that ink pad and then put them on the paper. No smudges now. You know how to make good, clean prints.
Why, of course I do. There. How's that?
I'll tell you in a minute. Oh, Tony, give me the folder of the prints the boys took off the knife handle. Thanks.
Taylor, I don't know what you're trying to prove, but will you tell us if you think the prints are the same?
Yes, Drummond. I'll tell you. And I know. They're identical.
Why, they can't be. I never saw that knife before. It's a weird-looking thing anyway. Imagine a short German silver handle and an 8-inch steel blade.
Talk if you want to, Denny, but I'm warning you, you're under arrest.
You're arresting Denny? On what charge?
The charge, Drummond, is murder.
Our story continues in just a moment. And now, back to Bodog Drummond and the story he calls The Case of the Double Death. Denny has been arrested on suspicion of murder due to a derby hat, an umbrella, and a strange knife whose handle bears his fingerprints. In Drummond's house, Detective Taylor is ready to take Denny to police headquarters.
All right, Denny. Come along now and take it easy.
Now, just a moment, Taylor. If you don't mind, I'd like to know the details of this ridiculous situation.
Well, seeing it's you, Drummond, I'll tell you. A man was murdered on the street, not far away, knifed. Miss Derby was found alongside of him.
But that's my hat.
Sure, Denny, we found that out. We woke up the dealer who sold it to you. He knew the initials inside. Said you're an old customer.
Well, I've bought my hats there for years.
We also found a small bit of umbrella silk in the body's hand. Must have been torn off during a struggle. And I found this umbrella, minus the missing piece, in your coat closet.
But I lost that hat and umbrella this evening.
Drummond, can you tell us where Denny was between the hours of 9 and midnight?
I'm very sorry, I can't.
Of course you can't, sir. I was alone in the subway during those hours, sleeping.
That's pretty thin. Got any witnesses?
Well, none that I know of.
Look, Taylor, may I examine the body?
Yeah, sure you can. Tony, I'll take Drummond to see the body. You take Denny to see his cell.
Welcome, sir, to my humble quarters.
I'm trying to get you released on bail, Denny. Of course, it isn't customary in the case of a murder suspect, but I may be able to bring it off.
No, I certainly hope you can, sir.
The evidence against you isn't airtight. You were framed, all right. I'm beginning to understand how it was done. I'm sure that your fingerprints were on the knife handle because you used it last night in that restaurant.
But, sir, I certainly didn't use a knife with an 8-inch blade for eating.
No, Denny. But you remarked yourself that the murder knife had a short German silver handle. And the handle of the knife you used for eating might have been switched to the murder blade.
You mean that someone stole my table knife as well as my hat and umbrella?
Exactly.
Well, I must say, sir, I feel better now. I was beginning to imagine myself in Pee-wee Lido's position.
Lido?
The murderer whose execution you witnessed last night.
Denny, that's a thought.
Rather a gruesome one to me, sir.
You and I helped send Lido to the chair. And this frame-up might be revenge on the part of the Lido gang. Perhaps they're planning to frame me for murder, too. Yes, Denny, we have plenty to do. And the first thing is to get you out of here. There's the restaurant where we dined last night.
I'd be just as happy if we found it burned to the ground, sir.
Proprietor told me over the telephone that the waiter who serves us served us last night came on duty at 6 o'clock. His name is Dan Morris.
Well, it's Yes, it's 5:45 now. He should be along any minute.
Yes, here he comes now. I recognize him. Hello there. Dan Morris?
You talking to me?
Yes, you waited on us last night in this restaurant.
Oh, yeah, I didn't recognize you gents with your hats on.
Yes, I don't wonder.
We want to talk to you about the missing hat and the umbrella.
Sure, if they're returned, you'll get them.
Well, they've been returned. We also want to ask you about a knife.
Look, mister, I'm late now. Some other time,
huh? If you'd rather talk to the police, we can arrange it.
Cops? No. Where do we go?
Where do you live?
Not far away.
Very well, we'll go there. Get in our car. All right, Morris, keep on talking. You were paid $2,000 to take the knife Denny used in the restaurant and wrap it up in a napkin.
Look, I never did anything like this before, but I needed the money.
Tell us or the police. What else did you do for the money?
Well, I dropped a couple of pills in your friend's coffee. Not poison, just something to make him sleep.
Yes, I see. And what did you do with the knife?
I put it inside your umbrella and pointed out your hat and umbrella to someone.
We're waiting. What was his name?
I don't know. I was...
Denny, those shots came through the open window.
Yes, I know, sir. There's a fire escape outside, but there's no sign of anyone here now. No one is running down. Is he dead, sir?
Yes, two bullets through his chest. .38 caliber from the sound. Let's get out of the fire escape and go up.
We're only one story below the roof.
Whoever fired those shots must have come this way.
Well, I'm sure he didn't go down, sir. I say, there's someone going through that door.
It leads down into the house. Quick, Denny.
Yes, sir.
No, too late. Door's bolted on the inside. We can't break it down in time.
Yeah, we can get back into the house through the waiter's room.
And by the time we get downstairs, we won't find anyone. Turn on your flashlight, Denny.
Yes, sir.
Hold it close to the roof, over here. Denny, you see this?
Why, yes, there are deep impressions in the roof. This coat of tar is new.
These impressions are a woman's heel prints. They were made very recently. There's no dust inside them.
Woman? Dear me, what a complication.
Let's get back down the fire escape.
Please, sir, I don't understand this at all. What could a woman have to do with this case?
You said she was a complication, Denny. But she might be a simplification. Well, here's the waiter's room. Look inside.
Oh, dear. The body, sir. It's disappeared. It's too bad the waiter was killed before he told us some more facts. My word, whoever these people are, they're certainly thorough.
And completely cold-blooded. Imagine stabbing some innocent passerby to get a corpse to frame you.
And the business about that knife, sir, the murder weapon.
It was carefully selected so that the handle of the restaurant knife could be substituted for the original handle.
Why, we are home. I wasn't noticing.
Well, perhaps in the quiet of our own place, we can come to some sort of conclusion about this case and about your predicament.
Yes, I certainly hope so, sir. If you believe the Lido gang is behind this, we should be able to get to them in some way.
I think we can be more specific than that, Denny. The prints of a woman's heels on that roof suggest Lido's widow. She was obviously his partner in the former murder, but she was never indicted.
Well, I remember her at Lido's trial. She impressed me as a package of evil, if I may say so, sir.
This might be her revenge.
Yes, I have my key.
Turn on the lights, please, Denny.
Yes, sir. Oh, good heavens. Look, sir, in the living room.
Yes, I see. The body of Dan Morris, the waiter, in the middle of our floor.
Well, how in the world can it be? We just left him in his own room.
Well, we stopped for a bite to eat on our way here, and someone worked faster than we did, that's all. You see, Denny, they're trying to frame me now.
But what can they prove by moving the body here?
The restaurant owner knew that I was determined to meet the waiter. He might have told some member of the Lido gang. Apparently, they're following our movements.
Well, sir, what do we do now?
Well, The gang's next move will probably be a call to the police by someone posing as a neighbor of ours. He or she will say that shots and screams were heard in our house.
Then we're trapped. The police will be here in a short time and they'll find the body.
Not if we move quickly. Now look, we'll carry the body out the back door. I'll stay with it while you get the car. I know of a much better place for it than here in our living room.
All right, sir. The body's quite safe in the back seat, covered with a rug.
Get in, Denny. We'll drive on past the house. Now, I'll stop here for a moment.
My word, sir. The police didn't lose much time. The car's pulling up in front of our house.
All right, man. This is the place. Come on, Tony. Take 2 men around in the back. We'll go in the front. Make it fast now.
Well, Denny, I think you and I should be on our way.
Yes, sir. But where are we going?
To the waiter's room. And the quicker we get there, the better.
Then, Denny, we'll just seat him carefully in this overstuffed chair by the window.
Yes, sir. There. How's that?
That's about right.
Oh, this is creepy. He actually looks alive.
Drag over that table with the telephone on it.
Yes, directly.
That's right.
Oh, dear. If there's anything that really chills me, it's a dead man with his eyes open.
Wait, I'll just put his hands on the table like this. Now, Denny, turn on that floor lamp. It's far enough away. We don't want too much light.
Yes, sir.
Now, I hope I can imitate his voice successfully. Listen a moment and tell me how it sounds.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Dan Morris, the waiter.
Well, that's excellent, sir.
All right, next in order is a telephone call. I'm calling the bar that used to be Leto's headquarters. If this scheme doesn't work, Denny, we'll need a very good lawyer.
Well, sir, there's always David Miller.
Hello? I want to speak to Mrs. Leto. Yeah. She'll talk to me, all right. You tell her Dan Morris, the waiter's calling.
Unless I'm wrong, she's right there.
Hello? Yeah, you double-crosser. You thought I was dead, didn't you? That's the way you left me. What was the idea of your boys dragging me off to some strange house?
Tell her plenty, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I came to. I'm home now. Listen, I like money. And this is going to cost you 20 grand. That's right, 20,000 bucks. And if I don't get it, I'll go to the cops and tell them plenty.
Oh, that's splendid.
Okay. We'll start with what you got. 3 grand tonight. And listen, Mrs. Leto, no tricks. Get here in a hurry.
How did she sound, sir?
Frightened, Denny. She'll be here soon.
I hope she really swallowed your story.
I'm sure she did. Denny, go up to the roof and open that door that she bolted in our faces. Then we'll be ready for the payoff.
There's a car stopping in front of the house, sir, and a woman is getting out.
All right, one more phone call.
Yeah, the woman's coming into the house.
Hello, operator. Connect me with the police. Hurry, please. This is an emergency.
2 men got out of the car, but they're not coming inside.
Police headquarters. Someone's been murdered. 592 Hickory Street, top floor. All right, Denny. Climb out in the fire escape.
Directly, sir.
There's just one more thing to do. Take the telephone receiver off the hook. Leave it in front of our friend on the table. Wait, I'll dial one number to get rid of the dial tone.
Come on out, sir. I'm quite comfortable on the fire escape.
Dan Morris looks alive in this dim light. Now, you crouch down out of sight, Denny. I'm staying here behind this chair.
The door's opening.
Come right in, Mrs. Leto. Keep your hands where I can see them. That's better.
You can trust me, Dan Morris.
Ah, once was enough. You see that phone?
Hmm?
The receiver's off the hook. I just called the cops and told them to listen for gunshots. They can't hear us talk, but be careful of any noise.
How do I know you can be trusted?
I'm no double-crosser.
Now, look, Morris, you mustn't mind the boys. They got jittery and let you have it, that's all.
You better get some new boys. Boys don't know how to shoot. My shoulder's burning up, but I'm alive. And I'm in this for the money, you understand?
Sure. Sure, it won't happen again. You did all right for us.
And now you can do all right for me. The first payment is $3,000 in cash. Just put it on the table there.
Sure, okay.
Get away from that phone.
Too late, smart boy. It's hung up. And this time the slugs go home.
Back to the climax of our story in just a moment. And now, back to Bulldog Drummond. When we left them, Denny was crouched on the fire escape outside a window, and Drummond was concealed behind a high-backed chair. Mrs. Lido, widow of a gunman, has just fired two shots into the corpse in the chair and rushed from the room.
Denny, she's out the door.
Please, sir, a police car has just pulled up below answering your call.
All right, up to the roof, quick.
Do you think she started for the roof, sir?
No, she went downstairs. Over to the door, Denny, come on.
Here we are, sir. I'll open the door.
There she goes, man. That woman with the gun, get after her.
The police saw her on the stairway. She's coming back upstairs now.
Right,
get back,
right,
Denny.
Right,
she's coming out here.
Hold up, Mrs. Lido. This is the end of the line.
Get out of my way.
Of course.
Ow, my arm, let go. Let go, you're breaking it.
I'll just hold your gun for you.
What goes on here?
We've got her, Taylor, the murderess.
What are you doing here, Drummond?
We've been trailing Mrs. Lido. I had an idea that she was the one who framed Denny for murder. Let's go downstairs.
Sure. Come along, lady.
Take it easy, will you? I'm coming.
I'll make it snappy, then. Is this the place, Drummond?
Yes. A room occupied by a waiter named Dan Morris.
Okay, lady, get inside. Well, you did a nice job on that guy, didn't you?
Oh, here's her gun, Taylor.
Thanks, Drummond. Let's see. Four exploded shells. And it looks like four holes in the corpse. You don't miss, do you, lady?
I'm not talking.
Suit yourself. Tony, call the wagon for those two guys we picked up out in front. Run them down to headquarters. I'll bring the lady down in my car. Oh, Drummond, will you stay here with the body until I get back with the homicide crew?
Yes, of course, Taylor. Denny and I are glad to help you.
All right, lady, let's go. And don't try any stunts like falling downstairs.
Please, sir, I'm out on bail, you know, and here I am tangled up in another murder case.
Well, Denny, now that Mrs. Lido and two of her gunmen are in custody, we'll be able to prove to the police that you were the victim of a frame-up.
Yes, sir.
Of course, Denny, it's our secret that this man was already dead when Mrs. Lido killed him the second time.
Yes, naturally. I beg your pardon, sir, but how did four exploded shells get into Mrs. Lido's gun? She only fired two shots into the corpse.
I had to account for the two previous bullet holes in the body. I was sure they were .38 caliber. So when Mrs. Lido fired her two shots, I also fired two out the window from my own .38.
They were perfectly synchronized with hers. I only heard the two shots.
On my way to the roof, I removed the exploded shells from my gun, and when I took Mrs. Lido's gun from her, I found she'd reloaded her gun since the actual killing. So I substituted my two empty shells for the two live ones.
So there were four empty shells in her gun to correspond with the four bullets in the corpse. Please, sir, did you know what was going to happen?
Yes, Denny. I trapped her into killing the same man twice. One way to fight a frame-up is with a counter-frame-up.
And now, here is Bulldog Drummond to tell us about next week's story.
A testimonial dinner is being given to a noted crime reporter who specializes in exposing rackets. Denny and I meet him and almost immediately become involved in a maze of murder. One man is poisoned, another hanged, and a third is shot. Denny and I are also marked for killing when we stalk the murderer. I call the story Dinner of Death. Be sure to listen, won't you?
And so into the night walks Bulldog Drummond, seeking new adventure and excitement. The next adventure with Bulldog Drummond will be heard over most of these same stations next week at the same time. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.